I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello and welcome to this premium podcast of the Lotus Eaters, where we're going to be discussing the rigging of Maricopa County. I'm your host, Harry, joined by Connor.
Hello there.
And as I said, we're going to be looking at the rigging of Maricopa County because there has been a lot of information coming out recently that we're not able to talk about on YouTube for obvious reasons. According to YouTube terms and conditions, every US election that has ever occurred since 1776 is 100% completely fortified, completely legitimate, no corruption possible at all, which does make me wonder the status of that Count Dankula video where he went over one of the most notoriously rigged and corrupt elections where the people actually had to, I think, storm a courthouse.
Battle of Athens, was it?
Yeah, Battle of Athens. I wonder about Count Dankula's Battle of Athens video.
I wonder, does this mean that we're not allowed to question when the states voted for secession?
Apparently not.
South will rise again, according to YouTube.
Yes, according to YouTube, the South will rise again. But there has been a Senate hearing and committee hearings going on in Arizona talking about Maricopa County and Pima County and a lot of the other situations from the 2018, 2020, and 2022 elections. Some people are saying that the corruption goes back much further than that, and that is something that we'll get onto, but mainly we're going to be focusing on 2020 and 2022, because obviously after the 2020 elections, that's when Donald Trump mainly started to allege voter fraud, and that's when a lot of information started to come out, and then immediately be dismissed by judges of lawsuits, massive lawsuits, what are the ones where loads of people get together and put a lawsuit forward?
Wasn't it Confederation of States? Isn't that something they're trying to
I don't
propose?
Know, I think John, what was that, John? Class action lawsuits, those are the ones. Class action lawsuits being put towards states and then immediately rejected by judges because there was, I don't know, a typo.
I want to just clarify as well for the listeners. I haven't followed the most recent revelation, so I am Harry's reaction monkey. And instead, I have followed some of the 2018 stuff that Razor Fist has been diligently covering as a resident of Arizona. And I do understand both the fact that this is McCain's state and he governed it with an iron fist, but also at the local level, there were instances of mail-in ballot fraud that got Mark Kelly and Kyrsten Sinema possibly across the line way back in 2018.
Well,
that seems to have been a template for the rest of America.
What's her name? Kyrsten Sinema?
Yes.
Kyrsten Sinema, she is definitely a name that comes up in the information that we're going to be looking through. But just to remind everybody of some of the allegations that were going on back in 2020, immediately after the elections, a lot of people, Maricopa County, even in England, we kept seeing a lot of information coming from Maricopa County every single time. There would be issues with the voting machines. There would be issues with the officials regulating everything that was going on in the voting centers, making it more difficult for people to vote, telling everybody if the voting machines don't work, we've got this special box that you can put all of your votes into, which we promise will get to the right people and be counted honestly and fairly. Everything seemed very, very suspicious. And you can go back once again and look at articles from places like the Epoch Times, where they talk about this. This one was a lawsuit seeking remedy for rejection of Sharpie voters' ballots in Arizona. And basically, the long and short of this was that poll workers were talking about how a lot of people's votes were getting rejected at the polling stations, and that it was a massive it kept being issues with the polling machines that were cited. And what it seemed that this person said was that they were handing out Sharpies at the polling station, and a lot of the staff members and a lot of the people actually going to fill in their votes said they'd never received Sharpies before, that was bleeding through to the other side of the paper that they were using rather than just filling it in normally, which might have been causing issues with the voting machines. But the question at that situation would be, was this done purposefully? Is this an error that they knew would happen? Was this done to make it more inconvenient for people to be able to vote honestly? So therefore you can say, well, you're going to put them in this box instead, and then we'll count them out of sight, out of mind, in a fair and controlled manner. Is that what's going on here? Because one of the poll workers, a man called Joshua Banco, referenced in this article, spoke about how he estimated that at least 80% of those who tried to vote in his location were affected by this. And if you've got 80% of the votes, well, you've got 20 potentially fair counted votes, but, well, 20% fairly counted votes, but you've got 80%, that's a lot.
Yeah, and so you have to determine whether or not this is just sheer incompetence on a scale that has caused a lot of accidental fraud or strategic malice with plausible deniability.
Yes, and when plaintiffs in the actual lawsuit requested a new ballot box, one of the things that they put forward in this lawsuit was upon information belief, upon consultation with the Maricopa County Recorder's Office, the poll workers refused to provide her with one. So people would be filling in their votes, being rejected, and they would ask for a new ballot. They would get told no. So that's right. The same as your vote being just entirely rejected.
Okay.
Right there. So that's very strange. And then you immediately got the backlash to this. You got the official response also reported in by the Epoch Times, where the top election officials in Arizona's largest county said there was no evidence of fraud in the election. So this was Clint Hickman, a chairman of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, saying that they had taken the proper steps to ensure a full and accurate count of all the votes. They did a hand count audit of a representative sampling of votes that yielded a 100% match to the results produced by vote counting machines. Now, I always find it funny when officials say these sorts of things, because we have no physical, we have no visible evidence of them doing this. They didn't film themselves doing it. They just say, we took a representative sample and we have to assume that that will be representative. We hand counted them and it came out the exact same as what the machines came out with. And you're just supposed to accept this. You're just supposed to go, well, sounds fair. These people would never lie to me.
Well, not just that. Okay, so if they did a hand count of the ballots that were accepted by the machines and got an exact match, does that not prove they didn't address the Sharpie issue at all? So that's just, yeah, okay, we got the exact number of votes correct that the machines processed. Well, that wasn't one of the chief complaints. One of the chief complaints was the machines didn't process some of the ballots up to 80% that were marked out with this. So it's not that it's all just fraud. It's just that active voter suppression was done there, again, whether through incompetence or malice is still up for determination.
Yes, there is a lot of questions that you can ask with that. And once again, you are right that by choosing that selection, you're choosing a very biased selection through which to do the hand count. But if they're also saying, well, at this particular place where we did all of the, because there'll be more than one polling station, this won't have necessarily affected every single polling station, but it does seem to be a recurring theme throughout Maricopa and Pima County, that whenever people go and vote in those elections, the machines always break. And it's something that you see widespread across all of these polling stations. Every single time something like that happens, they just go, well, we did the hand count of a representative sample, and they just accept it. Just accept it, pleb. That's the vibe that I get it from. So it says further on in here, more than 2 million votes were cast in Maricopa County, and out of more than 167,000 ballots cast on election day, fewer than 200 ballots were found to have an overvote in the presidential race, according to this Clint Hickman. The mandatory hand count audit, which is required by Arizona law and in which all three political parties took part, was carried out on the basis of election day ballots from 2% of vote centers and 1% of early ballots. This is a statistically significant sample of thousands of votes which would have caught irregularities. And once again, you can say statistically speaking, it's unlikely with that amount of votes that you wouldn't catch irregularities. But at the same time, this is just, we just have to take their word for it. And I don't take the word of politicians that have been shown actively to have contempt for the voting public. That the second that you say, hold up, there seems to be a lot of issues going on here. It's very strange that all of these voting machines always seem to break and then we have to get them sent off for hand counting by people that we don't necessarily trust. That every single time something like that happens, they just go, no, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're a fraudster, you're trying to destroy our democracy. This is not something that I trust personally.
One of the things that sort of perked my ears up when I heard about this story recently with the 2022 governor's election was that Katie Hobbs, Carrie Lake's opponent, one of the Democrat frontrunner, was overseeing the election integrity processes and was refusing to recuse herself. So she was marking her own homework.
Big surprise. And then when we get into that, 2022, I believe, is when Katie Hobbs won, because it was the midterms that she took over from Carrie Lake after she won the midterms. And then we see a lot of the same issues pop up again. And this is something that I wanted to report on at the time, but sadly, YouTube would not allow us to do so. But we were keeping a track of this, and we saw a lot of what was going on, where it says in this particular article from Reuters, so this is a big, this isn't the Epoch Times where you could say, oh, there's bias going on here. This is a big mainstream publication who you would think has an incentive to keep the mainstream narrative going.
They're funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Yeah, even they have a stat here that says about 20% of electronic vote tabulation machines in Maricopa, the state's most populous county, malfunctioned for a few hours on election day and technicians were deployed to fix them. So immediately, that's where we saw a lot of the footage coming out, where you got some of the officials standing around going, well, you can't fill in your votes right now. People were getting turned away if they didn't want to get the votes in the tabulation machines while they were broken, or you can set it into this. And it was labeled box 3. And you just had to trust that if box 3 was going somewhere to get hand counted, that nothing would happen to the votes in transit, that the people counting the votes were going to be honest with the votes that were counting. And a lot of people were very upset about this. If we've got any viewers watching this podcast from Arizona, it's likely that you might be able to tell us some of the actual on-the-ground details of what was going on beyond what we saw in the footage. And a judge in Maricopa County rejected a Republican request to keep the polls open past their usual closing time of 7 o'clock in the evening.
That's why I remember as well, Carrie Lake and Jack Posobiec and the like tweeting out, no, stay in line, don't be discouraged, even if it's broken, make sure you get to vote. So because they were telling people to stay in line and stick around, they obviously didn't want people, even though they were demanding their ability to vote, to be able to well beyond the voting time, even though it's their fault that they couldn't.
Yes, it's absolutely ridiculous. And if this was purposeful, if these machines break purposefully, or even if it is malicious, just telling the people to turn around and leave and come back later, for instance, that's still a way of just trying to demoralize people. People will go home and you're kind of banking on the idea that they won't come back.
Yeah. So it's funny that the Democrats are trying to legislate against quote-unquote voter suppression, which means instantiating mass mail-in ballots as a legal requirement in all states, when this would be an example of voter suppression. But again, repressive tolerance only flows in one direction.
Yes. And this judge said that Republicans had provided no evidence that a voter was unable to cast a ballot because of the machine problems. No, it's the trust in the machines and the actual voting process which is being destroyed here. And also, once again, you're not letting them stay past the point where it's going to potentially reopen, the voting machines will work again. You're going to be turning them away. That is an issue. That is an issue. Arizona saw Trump-backed Republicans defeated in two high-profile races. So this is what we mentioned. Blake Masters lost to Democratic Senator Mark Kelly, and Carrie Lake lost the governor's race to Democrat Katie Hobbs. And once again, even if this is all accidental, how are we supposed to trust these machines in the first place when they fail every single election? All the way going back to 2018 as well, if I remember correctly, they've always had issues with these voting machines. There's always been issues with the voting process in Maricopa County in particular.
Well, Jimmy Carter as well, years ago, the Carter Foundation produced a documentary saying that mass mail-in ballots and the ability to read them would cause widespread voter fraud. Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar, both of them Democratic candidates for 2020, came out and said, we don't support mail-in ballots until the pandemic kicked in. That became a very expedient excuse to do so. And also, the code for the voter machines is privately owned, so it should be publicly accessible so people can go through it and make sure it's on the up and up.
It should at the very least be open source.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is where we get onto what's been going on recently, which is the big lawsuit that was put forward by Carrie Lake that's led to the Arizona Senate Elections Committee, which is chaired by State Senator Wendy Rogers, who have been listening to testimony from other people who say that they have evidence of election fraud in the 2022 midterms, the 2020 election, and going even further back. And that's where a lot of this testimony that I will be recounting is coming from. And then we'll check out the likelihood of the allegations that have been made, shall we say, and see if it lines up with reality. So this article, just talking about the initial sitting, which went on, I think, on the 23rd or 24th of January this year, So they heard a major presentation on voter irregularities and signature verification failures in Maricopa County's 2022 election midterms. We the People Arizona Alliance co-founder and chairman Shelby Bush delivered a presentation regarding voter machine and ballot printer failures and the potential voter fraud that occurred while verifying ballot signatures. They compared it to and presented voter registration forms with signatures on over 100,000 2020 ballot envelopes and identified a staggering 20% error rate in signature verification. After determining that over 420,000 ballot affidavits failed signature verification in the 2020 election based on their review of roughly 25% of 1.9 million envelopes, Bush and her team extrapolated this data and concluded there were a total of 290,644 failed signatures in the 2022 election. So that's not looking good. That is enough to swing a vote.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, that is enough to swing a vote. And then on the election day of Maricopa County, nearly 60% of the machines and printers failed for in-person voters who turned out at a rate of 3-for-1 for America First Republican candidates. So it always seemed to be affecting these counties and these particular parts of the counties, these constituencies that were pretty much guaranteed to vote Republican.
Yeah, and also it's very curious how all of the retirement homes in Arizona, because Arizona has the second highest senior citizen population.
It seems to be a place where a lot of old people go to retire.
Yeah, it's funny that all of those old people go to Arizona, which is, I believe, an open carry state, very heavily Republican district. And then all of a sudden, all vote Democrat, 100%. All from the retirement homes.
From all of the information that I've seen, and we'll get onto some of the information that I've seen that will verify this, there's only been two times since the since Harry Truman, that Arizona has ever swung Democrat. It has been a fiercely Republican stronghold for decades. And then all of a sudden you get all of these changes where Donald Trump, I think in 2020, massively did get the vote in 2020, I think in Arizona. But then in the 2022 midterms, all of a sudden you swing it the other way. And Joe Biden gets a huge amount of votes as well, or at least the Democrats do. Very, very strange. I might be getting that wrong. We'll verify the information when we get further in. So many did not get to vote. They were forced to wait hours to vote, or they were forced to leave their ballots in a mysterious box to be tabulated off-site later. Once again, this is box three that I was mentioning. And Maricopa County recorder Stephen Richter also admitted that the county did not keep a chain of custody. Did not keep a chain of custody for the likely hundreds of thousands of ballots leaving the vote center.
Right.
That's not looking good. That's really not looking good. And in the next article, we have more information on this. So Bush revealed that Maricopa County Assistant Elections Director Celia Nabor suddenly disappeared from the county's payroll when attorneys for Bush requested her deposition regarding signature verification.
This is very strange because, so I don't know if you saw Stephen Crowder investigating some of the voter fraud from 2020.
No, I have not.
Okay, so he not only sent out his producers and Dave Landau to investigate certain sites that looked strange on the voter registration that turned out to be empty parking lots or overpasses or have no houses there whatsoever or just open desert that people were voting for. Don't know how they had their residency in the sand. But also, he tracked down someone who I believe worked for the Clinton Foundation, who had voted more than once. And it turned out she'd been living in England for years and they couldn't find her. So things like that happen on these voter rolls all the time.
Yeah, the voter rolls, one of the people that we were looking at in just a moment in the next article, has put forward a 10-point plan to try to fix the distrust, not just the problems, but the distrust of the voting process that so many Americans are feeling right now. Number one, clear out the voter rolls. We need to get for certain who is voting, where they are situated, and make sure that all of that information in there is accurate and representative of reality. Because so many times you see so many people, you see apartment buildings in America where there'll be one apartment with like 13 different names attached to it on the voter roll.
Might be a Hispanic family, to be fair.
Might be a Hispanic family. That's true, especially in a border state like Arizona.
Yeah.
But still, you do get a lot of irregularities where there seems to be a lot of people tied with their names to particular addresses who don't live there.
There's also very important people connected to things like the Clinton Foundation just mysteriously vanish after some election irregularities.
Well, that's just getting friendly with the Clintons. That's just a risky run, it seems. So Celia Nabor supervised the signature verification in the last three elections. The ones that we've just seen were at least 20% failed. And a deposition was requested for Napier after the 2022 election in a special action lawsuit seeking public records. However, Bush's legal team followed up this deposition request on January 12th, 2023, and the county told them Napier was no longer employed. Funny how that just happens.
Right, and they couldn't find...
She's just gone.
Right, and they couldn't find where she was at all to deliver the deposition to her. They didn't know her residence. They didn't know her next place.
Didn't give any information, or at least not enough information for them to be able to track her down so they could actually get the information that they needed from her to check what was the chain of custody, what were the signature verification, why was it so messed up.
Right, so screws up election, refuses to elaborate further, leaves. Gotcha.
That's kind of Chad, but... Other info had come out since that one, but there have been two major testimonies given, and we're going to be focusing on those two because this is the first one. And there were clips of this, but I thought it'd be easier to go through this information. So this is from a Captain Seth Keschel. I think he was cancelled for supporting Donald Trump a few years ago during 2020.
Right.
And he gave testimony at this. And what he did, he went through all of the census information of the actual residents, the population growth in Arizona, and then correlated it against the increase of votes and registration of votes just to see, do these numbers add up? And he gave the testimony on it, and it's not great. And he's got his own Substack called Captain K's Corner, where he just runs through all of the information. So we can see that here. So he says, between 2010 to 2020, Arizona's population grew by just 759,485, which are the official numbers. That marks the lowest growth in the state since the 1960s. Given that the population growth drives voter registration, and voter registration drives turnout, and that I'm able to forecast turnout based on a very consistent growth to the state over four decades, the obvious question arises. How in the hell did Maricopa County gush out so many votes in the last three elections if the population growth is fizzling? Because there has been a ridiculous number of new votes. So if we just look at this graphic here, John, this one here. So this is the population growth. So you can see over the years between 1990 and 2000, and then 2000 to 2010, the growth was over 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, between 1990 and 2000, it was almost 1.5 million. And then we start to fizzle out as we get down. And Maricopa County, it reflects that pretty well. And then he carries on. My position, and that's Captain Keschel, is the federal government is pencil whipping census numbers to prevent the addition of new electors and representatives for red states. Either Arizona's census numbers are legitimate and the explosive growth rates and turnout can't be justified, confirming the existence of fraudulently run elections, or the election turnout is real and the census numbers are fudged. Because if we scroll down a bit further, so there's the 2018 turnout boom, where Arizona, we got 2,376,441 votes versus what could be statistically expected, which was just under 2 million.
Right.
And then in 2018, that was, I think, a 91% turnout. Have you ever heard about a legitimate election getting a 91% voter turnout post-19th century?
No, and that wasn't even with Joe Biden, the most popular president of all time. I wanted to add, I didn't want to derail the going through the chronology of the population numbers, but there also might be a reason for fudging the census numbers on red states, and that is because the way the American Electoral College works is that over time you get more Electoral College votes if your population swells. That's why California has an incentive to make themselves a sanctuary state, because they got an extra Electoral College seat because of the amount of illegal immigrants coming into the country. So it may be that at once they want to flood Arizona with illegal immigrants who will illegally vote by mail-in ballots, but they don't want to put that number down on paper, because until they can guarantee it's a Democrat stronghold, they don't want an extra Electoral College seat influencing the elections.
That makes perfect sense. And you see these CNN reports and other places all the time reporting on how we're turning these states purple and then we're going to turn them blue through demographic shift, through mass migration, because sanctuary states and other legislation being put forward by the federal government basically wants to be able to naturalize illegal immigrants in the same way that Ronald Reagan stupidly did in the 1980s with the immigration, I forget exactly the title of it. It was like the Immigration Naturalization Act or something, which said that they were going to implement stronger border controls, which they didn't, which said they were going to have stricter regulations on whether you can hiring illegals with businesses. They were going to really hammer home that you're not allowed to do that. You're not able to do that. And if we catch you do that, we're going to really smack the hammer down on you. They didn't do that. So the only thing it ended up doing was making millions of illegal immigrants citizens, which is brilliant. Thank you for that, Reagan. Thank you. You're such a good Republican. And if we keep scrolling down, so obviously, actually, go, stay there. So that's the President of the United States elections, 1948 to present. So it's always, other than a few very brief periods, been a Republican stronghold, and by a safe and wide margin there. And if we scroll down a bit further, we've got some more information. So we've got these new votes added. So every single time, it's pretty much, other than a few times, the Republican votes get added each time. And you can see the most that have ever been added at once was, I think, 2004, which was Bush versus...
Gore?
No, it wasn't Gore. I think
wasn't it? Oh, John Kerry.
Yeah. Yeah, versus John Kerry. So that's 2004, where we got an extra 322,000 Republican votes and 208,000 Democrat votes. And this is during a decade in which they did add an extra population to them of over a million people. Mm.
And okay. Also, I wanted to say that the 96 election was obviously Clinton, and it's fairly indistinguishable between the neocon and neo-libs at the time. So you could just argue that, well, when push comes to shove, there's not much of a difference between that one time that they voted for a Democrat president, because red or blue, you get the same sort of policies.
Yeah. And then if we scroll down a little bit further, there's some more figures here. So we got the new votes added in 2020. For the Republicans, we got an extra 409,000, which is massive. And then scroll down again and we can see the Democrats got 510,000, which is not just doubling, that's more than doubling the previous top amount of Democrat votes the state had ever seen. So we got an extra vote total of 782,669.
Despite a lower population influx in that time.
It's very, very, very strange. And he carries on to say, 2020, the curious election in which Donald Trump topped all Republican records in a Republican stronghold, only to lose the state for the second time since 1952, and Maricopa County for the first time since 1948, despite winning Maricopa County in 2016 with fewer votes than Mitt Romney had 4 years prior, despite population growth in the county. If Biden were to add twice as many votes as John Kerry did in 2004, he would still be losing the state by roughly 84,000 votes. Biden's gain doubles Kerry's plus another 94,000, which barely squeaks past Trump's record Republican stockpile of votes. Also, the number of net new votes again in a state that is supposedly slowing in its rate of population growth is 304,197 higher than the previous total net new vote boom set in 2004, when the rate of population growth was still zooming, according to official documentation. Allowing for Democrat record gains in Maricopa County and Pima counties, Biden loses the state by a minimum of 11.5% in any real election.
Right, so it's a staggering mathematical unlikelihood.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.